Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Underpowered Hour. On this week's show, stolen Land Rovers found in the back of a van, another special edition yacht defender, Land Rovers of the movies, and a famous Land Rover owner of the week. And now, without further delay, here's the show. Welcome to the Underpowered Hour. I'm Steve Barris, mild-mannered television executive by day and Land Rover collector by night. You can find out more about our cars and what we're working on at thebarriscollection.com or follow us on Instagram at thebarriscollection. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Ike Goss.
Thank you to everyone joining us today. I'm the static seat track to Steven's eight-way power seats. I am the cramped leg of podcasting, Ike Goss. I own and operate Pangolin 4x4 in Springfield, Oregon, where we live and breathe Land Rovers. Check us out online on Facebook, Instagram, at Pangolin 4x4. Let's get started.
All right, Ike. Well, this week in the news, good news, actually, I think, out of England, some of those stolen Land Rovers have turned up. So
yeah.
Great news for those owners that all is not lost. Their Land Rovers have been found. Just one issue.
One small issue. There's a little bit of reassembling to do upon the pickup of your vehicle.
That's exactly right.
So when you go to pick up your stolen Land Rover, you might have to visit more than one place to get all of the pieces. Yes, a van has been stopped. And inside this van is an entire disassembled Defender.
Yeah.
It has it's pretty digested
job.
To its very smallest components.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Great shot of the back of this van that the police have opened. And inside is an entire Land Rover
in kit form. It's a complete knockdown. In fact, you know, the first thing I thought when I saw it was, I wonder if Rob and Alex, our friends at the CKD shop, had anything to do with this theft, because only those two could so thoroughly pack a Land Rover into such a small space.
I feel like A, they're not interested in Defenders.
And that's exactly right. It was far too new. Far too.
And B, their packing is much better than what.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. If only that's what would happen if they used their powers for evil, though. I think that's right. Thankfully, they're on our side. They're on the side of good.
If you're looking for your Land Rover,
perhaps
you should check
the back
out
of this van.
BBC article about one in the back of a transit van.
It is pretty fun to look at the photos, I have to say. Like, it's just fun to like spot the parts you recognize, because holy moly. I mean, just the sheer weight of some of these components, the entire engine, all this stuff just literally like yeeted into the back of this thing. There's a seatbelt just laying over the engine, like all kinds of suspension parts leaned up against the exhaust. And like, it's just really thoroughly jammed into the back of that van, some door panels sitting on top. I mean, it really is. It's a great,
like,
you know,
the chassis on top of the drivetrain. There's an axle there at the left hand side. There's a lot going on.
Looks like
it's like a Where's Waldo.
It is. It's a great coffee table book, you know, with your friends. The friends come over for dinner or something, and you can try to put that Land Rover back together, you know, from the photos. This would be a good puzzle, actually.
I was just thinking that. It'd be a good puzzle. If that was a well-lit photograph, you could make a good puzzle out of that.
Yeah, you could kind of, how does this thing go back together? But so there you go. I mean, you know, it's one Land Rover found. I mean, admittedly, well, it might be one Land Rover. Who knows? There might be two in there. I don't know. It's hard to tell. There may be 0.5. There may be 3. I don't know. It's hard to say.
We can also safely assume that this is not their first attempt at doing this, right? This is probably other Land Rovers have been inside of this van and not been found, right?
No, I mean, you think about it, you know, like, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, the first time out, like, didn't get it perfect.
He didn't get caught until, what, 17 or 18, somewhere in there?
Exactly. Yeah, these guys, this isn't their first rodeo. You know, they've been through this before. So there you go. Well, if you're in the UK, beware of large panel vans and gentlemen in the front seats eyeing your Defender with a Sawzall and a couple of crescent wrenches. They may be after it later that evening. So, you know. This takes like strapping your catalytic converters down better to a whole new level. I mean, what do you do here?
You know, like I had the catalyst stolen off of both of my Defenders.
Really?
And it was disheartening. Yeah. It was disheartening. And I had a customer message me the other day about a series car, and his Discovery had been targeted for catalyst theft no fewer than 4 times. He said the catalyst had been stolen off his Discovery for the 4th time, and he was fed up. He was getting rid of it, and he was only going to drive his series cars.
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to worry about it on a series vehicle. You know,
after 4 times, I don't blame him.
Yeah, you just got to straight pipe that guy, I guess, you know, at some point. Maybe that's the solution. I don't know.
Yeah. So if you live in Los Angeles, beware.
Yeah, you got to barbed wire up your catalytic converter, I guess. Yeah.
They'll steal them at stoplights.
Oh, I know. Just get under there it's like a NASCAR pit crew. Just roll under there, saws all that thing off, and they're gone, you know?
Gone. It's gone.
It's amazing.
It's on the black market.
It's amazing. Well, speaking of on the black market, there is a whole new trend in low emissions Land Rovers, not just removing the catalytic converter, but removing the entire internal combustion engine altogether. Sure. And it is from a yacht preparer, and it is a Land Rover Defender, but it's converted to an emissions-free tender excursion. And I don't think they mean like chicken tenders. I think they mean like... That it is too bad. And I don't think they mean like tender bits, like, you know, like warm and tender. I think they mean like something that, do you keep this on your mega yacht and then you tender it off onto the shore?
That is the intention. Yeah. Yes. You know, this company, Everati, which also makes a fabulous line of sparkling waters. Everati has made this thing in search of yet wealthier clients.
That's right. That's right.
And so they've made this, they call it a tender, which is kind of like a dinghy that you might tender a larger ship with.
Yeah, it's a dinghy.
And it's a Land Rover Defender. They've converted to electric power. Yeah. And this is in an effort to make and create a sustainable vehicle with which you can tender your large mega yacht.
That's right.
To offset the thousands of gallons of diesel fuel that you're burning every hour in your mega yacht while you're surrounded by only the rarest of South American hardwoods.
That's exactly right. Yes. And rare furniture made out of rare bird skins and things and all of that. But don't worry, the Defender, 100% electric.
Sustainable.
Yeah, totally sustainable. And this one has some interesting features that you wouldn't find on a normal Defender. I'm not exactly sure what the deal with the roof rack is, but it looks like it has sort of like an upside down IKEA, you know, picnic table on the roof as its sort of roof rack with a tire in it. It has an almost Tomb Raider-esque roll cage around the outside of it. It has weird little see-through doors with little crosses.
It has doors.
Them. Yeah, it does
it
have
has
doors.
Doors no, it has but doors. Some of the door has been removed. In fact, mm-hmm. Looking at it more closely, you know, there's the hip or the body roll in a series or classic Defender.
Yes. That's
everything
right.
above that body roll has been removed.
That's right. It's
so gone. That like next 3 or 4 inches, whatever, you know, where it comes up to the belt line, mm-hmm. that's gone.
Just gone.
And then there is a hole in the door.
Just a giant hole in the door. And it's cross braced with aircraft cable. I guess is that to kind of make it more yachty? To the aircraft cable, I guess, maybe?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't feel like it's structural. I mean, I guess something has to hold that door together because there's literally nothing left of it. But they do that. They also have really wide arches because the tires are a little bit wider, it appears. I think it's all a rendering. I don't think any of this is actually real, but it is. It's got really wide wheel arches, and it's got, you know, super suspension race seats, and it's got a chrome bumper, and it's got a specialty hood box. And on this hood box, it is equipped with two bottles of Dom Perignon champagne and three wine glasses, which is an interesting choice, and a little thing for plates, and I assume some lunch in a little bag arrangement there. There's a place for your lunch in this specially, you know, sort of equipped area in the middle of the hood.
It's got a picnic basket.
It's a picnic basket.
It's got a picnic basket in the hood. Yeah, it's a built-in picnic basket.
That's right.
And it's got,
and the reason, I guess, is because the load space is taken up by a giant capstan winch.
That's probably its most interesting feature, that it has a capstan winch in the very center of the load space. Yeah. And there's a hole in the rear door. So you don't have to open the door to do your capstan winching.
No.
And the door itself is kind of the fair lead for the winch.
That's right. That's right.
It's pretty fascinating concept. Looks like it also has a stainless steel sort of roll cagey thing.
It's interesting. I mean, I would think, you know, you would want to put items and maybe passengers in the back of your Defender if it is to be tendered. But I guess in this case, no. You have this capstan winch back there, and I guess no. Not sure. Not sure exactly what the point is. That to get it back on the yacht? Like,
hard to say. It does have. It maybe it's to pull your yacht to the.
Oh, you can actually tow your yacht in with it. Ooh.
Yeah, and if you notice on the side of the vehicle, they've continued this nautical theme, and they have the little rope anchors or rope cleats on the side instead of the like soft top cleats that you would have on a standard vehicle. There are seats in the back, so you could carry passengers, but their feet would be tangled around this winch line, capstan winch situation.
It looks like the dead end of the rope goes into the cubby box somehow. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but
it has another winch in the bottom of the cubby box to pull on that slack. Pull on that end. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. And they just work in combination. It's, you know, for I guess, what do we call these? Vaporware vehicles?
Yes, it's a vapor vehicle.
You know? Yeah, I'd say it's, you know, they put a lot of thought into continuing this nautical theme. They were like, what would someone that wore boat shoes all the time drive?
I mean, don't own a different pair of shoes. This is all they have.
Anyway, it's fun to look at.
It's been several straight weeks of nautical themed Defenders. You know, this one I don't believe is painted with the speckle paint that is also used on telephone boxes and backhoes like the other one was, but like the Hardship one. But this one is, you know, this is interesting.
It is. I think it's actually worth checking out.
Yeah.
If you have a mega yacht and you're looking for a vehicle to put on the deck of your mega yacht, maybe it's a good solution for your.
It's a mega solution for your. Yeah.
Mega solution.
Winching your. So if you buy it, then they're going to have to figure out how to build one of these things. So good luck to them. Good luck to them on that. Well,
you have special editions.
You have special editions. Exactly.
Land Rover has released a new special edition Range Rover Sport, I'm told. And I don't know if you've seen this, but it's a skiing themed.
Oh, okay.
Edition. The Park City edition Range Rover Sport. And they will only make 7 examples of this.
Okay.
It has 543 horsepower and 590 foot-pounds of torque. Whoa. And it has the turbocharged inline 6.
Okay, yep.
And it can be yours for $169,000.
Well, that's not terrible, you know? I mean, so far as special editions go.
That's less than the average lift ticket at a premier resort.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And for that price, will they allow you to drive it down the ski hill?
It says here that you can do that.
It comes with
a lift ticket. They have a special lift that brings the vehicle to the top of the hill, and you can drive it down the ski hill.
You have to attach that lift ticket to the car, like that thing through its zipper.
Yeah, tag on the grill.
To hang on it. Yeah, you have to tag the grill. Yeah.
It also has 23-inch wheels. Do you know what tires are available for 23-inch wheels?
No, there are none. There just aren't any tires available. Oh boy, they keep, at some point there is going to be just a strip of like gasket material wrapped around a hard magnesium wheel. There just, there isn't going to be any tire left. You know, it's,
I've heard that the larger the wheel and the thinner the profile of the tire, the better the vehicle does in snowy, slippery conditions. Is
absolutely,
that true?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, that's true. The less rubber you have on a tire, the better performance, just all the way around, I think, is okay. What you want. Yeah.
All right.
No, that's definitely.
And those are bespoke satin forged carbon fiber garnish.
Of course.
Wheels.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be yours for the low, low price of $169,000.
You know, it's worth it, I think. Can you really put a price on a specialty ski themed super limited edition Range Rover Sports? I don't think so.
It also includes specific tread plates, deployable side steps, an SV bespoke duotone ebony and light cloud suede cloth headliner, light cloth and ebony semi aniline perforated leather seats, and a light cloud ebony trim piece for the sumptuous interior. And the finishing touch is the wheels, the 23-inch wheels.
Comments there. One, sumptuous. I don't think you can ever go wrong describing the interior of a vehicle as sumptuous. Secondly, essentially, are they not saying it is ebony and ivory living in perfect harmony inside of that car?
Also, a note to our listeners, be very careful when you're Googling these specifications, especially semi-aniline. In your spelling there, you may get some results that you would not like to see.
That's exactly right. Yes. You got to be, make sure you're rock solid on that spelling.
That's A-N-I-L-I-N-E.
Right.
For those listening at home. So
very important. Yeah.
If you want to look up those seats, aniline.
You want you got to get that just right. You got to thread that needle on that Google search. Let me tell you that. Well, speaking of threading that needle, something we forgot to discuss in the prep, but this past week was the first week of the Defender Rally Championship in the ye olde England.
I didn't know that.
It was. And what type of vehicle was
winning?
It's actually the Range Rover Sport. No, it was a strangely named event. No, it is all the brand new Bowler outfitted Land Rover Defender 90, the brand new, don't call it Land Rover, Defender 90. And it is bowlerized in the most fantastic way. And that was really cool. There is some footage on Bowler's YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you search Bowler Racing or Bowler Challenge or Defender Rally Championship or Defender Rally Series, you'll get the first stage. It's about a 4-minute long video, lots of great footage of the bowler cars rolling around in the mud, and man, it would look super muddy. There were spraying mud all over everything, but those cars look super cool and look to perform really, really well. They were going very quick through that mud. One team broke a wheel, an actual wheel, into pieces. And the team there put the thing back together.
They should have put some braid wheels on that thing.
Put the braid wheels on there. They've got bowler wheels on there. Should put braid wheels on there. You wouldn't have that problem. With braid. Nope, they don't break. They also have that crazy Goodyear tire on there. They really love that Goodyear tire. I don't know.
They got some leftovers.
They all have patches in them, but they're, But yeah, if you head over to the Bowler YouTube channel, man, it's super cool. Really, really cool. A little bit of interaction with the teams and see the scores and stuff like that. They're going to be posting that up throughout the year as those cars progress. But super cool, man. I want to like fly over there and race it.
Continually impressed with the longevity of the Bowler platform. You know, like such a niche thing. A racing Land Rover for this one particular series. It just seems very like, but it has been. They've been doing that since I was a kid.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Yeah. There is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's generations of Bowler Challenge cars. They had those 130 trucks for a little while. They had the old 90s. They had 110. They've had all kinds of stuff. And these new generation cars, I have to say, like, they really look cool and they certainly perform. I mean, they really haul ass. I mean, they're certainly quicker than the old cars.
How would we be able to tell how they perform against, let's say, other types of race and rally cars?
Good point. The only way to tell is to get one and race it against other types of rally cars. I think
we should probably do that. I wonder how much it would cost to put one of those in the Dakar. Probably more than we could stomach.
I don't know. Would they allow it in the Dakar?
I don't know.
I mean, probably, right? It's street legal in the UK.
And yeah, I don't know that it has to be street legal.
Yeah, like
they have those super racing Pajeros and all those crazy race trucks.
Yeah, I mean, you could race in that, but I mean, realistically, I don't know how we're going to do in that class. But if you could get a street legal one and race it in the street class, we might actually be able to compete there. And you're right, you know, it might be all right. That might be all right.
We'll have to look into that.
Try to
but
get
speaking
one
of
here.
Speaking of marks with long pedigrees that may not be long for this world, Jaguar. Mm-hmm. What's happening with Jaguar?
They're taking a nap.
They're taking a nap. I've heard they're closing like a lot of dealers, maybe all the dealers.
Well, I mean, when you don't have any cars really to sell and you're not planning on making any new cars now, I don't really know, because it was going to be an all electric brand. And as we talked about last week, the entire industry is kind of pumping the brakes on electric. Maybe not the best time to be releasing an all electric, very expensive kind of supercar, which is what they wanted to do, right? They want to compete with Bentley. They want to compete with Maserati, you know, very high end passenger luxury sedans and high performance cars. It feels like it's a rough market right now for an all electric brand relaunch. I don't know.
If you spent millions of dollars to upgrade your Jaguar dealership within the last 2 years, you're probably a little peeved.
I imagine so. I think there's going to be some bad feelings there.
It's going to be
now. I know that one of the initiatives when they talked about this Jaguar thing was that they were going to collapse it down to only a few Jaguar dealers across the United States, only in major centers, like just like Bentley. You know, like they were going to only have maybe, you know, a dozen of them across the country. So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's going to breed great feelings amongst the dealer chain. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see. If the cars are amazing, maybe they'll come around. But if
initially they said
designing them, I don't know.
Initially they said, oh, look, don't worry, we have enough inventory to cover the span of time from, you know, when we're ceasing production to the startup of the new cars. But now, it's looking all dicey.
It's looking a little dicey. Also, everybody's like, wow, this car is from 2021. I don't know if I want it. You know, like just because they have it. They made the last F-Type like 8 or 9 months ago now. And so, you know, like it's a long time to wait for a new car, another year and a half potentially.
You know what they should do? They should just, you know, go the Cybertruck route and come out with some crazy thing and just say, hey, we're doing this crazy thing.
Just wait.
It's
any day now.
And then it's coming, and then, oh, we're going to put it back. And it seems
like it's just, and they buy themselves like 5 to 10 years. Yeah.
5 to 10 years.
Just go for it. Yeah. I think that's the strategy now with a lot of car makers. It wasn't just Cybertruck. It was F-150 electric. It's all these cars, even the Rivian R3X, 27, maybe, you know, hopefully 27, but maybe later. We don't know.
I like the look of those. I want one right now. I want one so bad.
I want it so
bad. Our friend Rivian heard our discussion of the Rivian episode, and he was like, I'm glad you guys are talking about that. Maybe we could get us a vehicle to try out.
Oh, I would like that very much.
Yeah, we should do that.
I just want to Dukes of Hazzard that thing over a drainage ditch once. That's all.
I just want to weld the doors closed. That's all I want to do.
Just slide across the hood. You know, that's all I want to do. Come on. Come on, Rivian. What are you afraid of?
Well, speaking of things that we haven't seen for a while, I understand there is a Land Rovers in the movies segment for today.
There is. It is true. We have veered away from some of the classic Underpowered Hour segments, things that brought people to the show or permanently alienated them, whatever. And we are striving. We have the research department, the Ministry of Research, if you will, working around the clock to find some of these new segments for us. So we're happy to bring back two of them today. The first being Land Rovers in the movies. This is a series on The Red Menace, Netflix, by the extremely talented Guy Ritchie. a mobster, of course, piece called Gentleman, which I have not had an opportunity to enjoy, but you, Ike, and the Pacific Northwestern crew have been enjoying it. So what are your thoughts and what are we talking so far as Land Rover based content? I hear it's pretty chock-a-block full.
It is, you know, the general premise is a person inherits their father's royal estate. He's a duke. Mm-hmm. And they all, the entire family, drives Land Rovers. So everyone from top to bottom in the show drive Land Rovers, pretty much. So they all have Range Rovers, Range Rover Sports, or New Defenders. And in addition to those vehicles, some of the characters, notably the Gamekeeper character, drives a classic Defender. So there's quite a bit of Land Rover content to the point which one of the characters' middle name is actually Land Rover, and it's the patriarch of the family. And you gotta be paying attention, because if you blink, you'll miss it. But at his remembrance service at his funeral, if you look at the guy's full name, it's Archibald Horatio Land Rover Horniman. So they clearly knew what they were doing. So this show it's actually pretty good if you like Guy Ritchie British gangster movies, and who doesn't? It's a pretty good one. So check it out if you like those things and you like Land Rovers. It's worth a watch.
Definitely feels like there is more than just a cursory interest in Land Rovers happening on that show. It feels like
absolutely.
Feels like there's some product tie-in, but probably a little bit more than that. Because
I think there's like 8 episodes and there's at least, you know, 5 minutes of Land Rovers driving around in every episode. So check it out.
Sounds great. It's worth watching. And I'll, you know, I have Netflix. I don't like that I have Netflix, but I do have it, and I will have to dial that up.
Yeah, check it out.
Speaking of things that I don't like, so as you, I'm sure, are aware, Ike, Formula One is in full swing. We're waiting for next weekend's Australia Grand Prix, as we've had the first two races of the season, and of course, none other than Red Bull Racing has, of course, won the first two races. And that brings about our famous Land Rover Owner of the Week, a segment that has been missing for
blast from the past.
Oh, so long. And it is everyone's third favorite segment. So we are bringing it back for a special engagement for one such individual who is definitely a famous Land Rover owner and is in a little bit of trouble right now. And that is, of course, team principal and CEO of Red Bull Racing, Christian Horner himself. He is the proud owner of an 80-inch Land Rover that has been painstakingly restored. I'm not sure if it isn't a reborn even. We'll have to ask Mike Bishop, but it very well could be. It's a very nicely acquainted 80-inch. It looks really good and actually was featured in, if you watch the Drive to Survive series on Netflix, again, the Red Menace, they feature it in one of the recent episodes as Christian has some people over to his estate to do fancy estate things. And he and his wife, Jerry Halliwell, of course, the Spice Girl, they drive up in his 80-inch. But he also has a number of classic Defenders. He has a number of different Range Rovers. He also has an Aston Martin DB5, which is super cool. I think it's actually an original DB5, too. I don't think it's a recreation one. I think it's original DB5. It's a very nice car. And he has a Willys Jeep. He is a Willys Jeep he really likes.
Those are cool. I admit it.
I want a Willys Jeep, too.
I noticed that you said that there was some drama around this gentleman. There's some situation where there's investigations and there's impropriety potentially, and there's allegedly this and according to this person that, and so it brings me to my theory that no one watches F1 racing for the racing. They watch it for all of these dramas between the various drivers owners and chiefs and so on. And from an outsider's perspective, I feel like it's kind of like pro wrestling in that regard.
It is exactly like pro wrestling. And I'm not even sure that it is. Look, there's Linus in the background, that guy. It's almost that time for Pacific Northwest dinner time, which is my favorite time up there in the Eugene Springfield area, where everybody goes for dinner together. It's really adorable.
True.
It is true. I enjoy it immensely. I miss that. But yeah, you know, it is. It's a soap opera where, you know, there's intrigue and, you know, the drivers are on one side of this and Christian and the investors are on the other side. And we don't know who will win. And somebody will likely get fired before this next week's Australian Grand Prix. So I can't wait.
I think it's all scripted. It's exactly like pro wrestling.
It's pro wrestling. Yeah. That guy with the urn, Paul Bearer, he's going to show up and start to, you know, this is like, it's going to be, you know, yeah, the lovely Christine will be always there. It's going to be amazing.
I don't follow it very closely and I don't know all the people, but there's a Max person and there's Max a Lewis person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton. And they're always, you know,
they're right at each other. Yeah. There's a very close rivalry. And Max Verstappen's dad is always there and makes a ton of trouble. He's always like, you know, like you
know, it cannot help but be scripted.
Oh, I know. It's so weird. And it's pretty great. It is great to watch. It's a great sport, great automotive sport, great engineering, but the drama that goes on with all of these teams, and they're all, you know, every time somebody does something, everybody cries about, oh, it's like soccer. Everybody is like, oh my God, you broke all the rules. Oh, it's not fair. But they would do the same thing in a heartbeat if they had the opportunity to do so. So it is very funny. It's very catchy.
That reminds me of a cheating scandal that I recently saw in a different racing series. I think it was NASCAR or in one of the NASCAR spinoffs or something. And the driver had, and I'm not making this up, a special driving glove that he was wearing, and he was found to be cheating because the glove was webbed and he was sticking his hand out the window to like make it turn slightly, like have more wind resistance on one side of the car than the other. And they were like having a meeting where the governing body was sanctioning the team or whatever, and he was holding up this webbed glove. And I just thought it was the most ridiculous way of cheating in this like $1 million race car, just to have a webbed glove that you stuck out the window. It's great.
That's great. No, that is great. I like it. Yeah. At any rate, if you haven't been over to the old YouTube channel, the 80-inch steering box retrofit is up there. So
it's getting a lot of good traction. I've been seeing a lot of comments about that video. So it's a pretty good one. Check it out.
It's good. It's good. We're not quite done there. We're still working on it. We're probably going to do the relay next and some other things there. We've got, of course, the forward control is next up on the list. So that's going to be a fun one.
Next episode, look for a good workshop update because we've been busy in the workshop building some cars. So we'll have a great episode for you on that next week. Same time, same place. Don't miss it.
Don't miss it. And with that, we'll see you next week, Ike. Have a great weekend and enjoy that communal dinner with the rest of the team and give Linus my best.
All right. Happy trails, Stephen. Take care.
The Underpowered Hour is produced by Liza Barris, Ike Goss, and me, Steve Barris. Pavel Svartov composed and performed our theme music. Consider supporting the show on Patreon, and if you already do, thank you. Your support makes the show possible. For even more, check out our Instagram or Facebook.